At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
It's Fightful's The Hump with
Jimmy Van
and
Sean Ross Sapp.
Fightful.com. Yeah, yeah.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's The Hump. October 16th, 2024. You know, Jimmy, I loved the idea of The Hump being the name, but I was very fearful that people would think that we were a knockoff of The Bump when it didn't even come to mind. But
yep,
I guess that problem, unfortunately for WWE, took care of itself.
Yeah, it kind of worked out, didn't it?
Back.
Yeah. Well, yep. And if they ever bring it back, we'll say you guys knocked us off.
There was at one point, like during COVID, there were a number of people, like two or three people that had the same backgrounds as people from Fightful did. And I was like,
I remember Alex Pulaski. Yes, I remember. Yeah.
Indeed.
So how are things in your life these days? How you doing?
It's good. It's good. We're talking about Brock Lesnar today. We're talking about Bryan Danielson. We had big stories on both of those on FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. But if you are here right now, leave a thumbs up on this video. Share the video. You know, spreading the word helps us so much. But if you want to get your questions or statements read on the air this afternoon, get in a super chat or a Humper Chat. That's at humperchats.com. We already have a couple of them up, but get those in. Let us know that you're here, like Delvin is dropping some fruit emojis. That's how we do our roll call around these parts.
Yes, I've seen that. Yeah. I want to tell people quickly. I told Sean off the air. I apologize. I'm a little distracted. I play options in the market. I have options expiring today. And I have no choice but to keep an eye on it, because if I don't, I will lose. So I have no choice. So I apologize. Fair. Hey, if you want to know about trade options, send in a super chat and I'll talk about it.
There you go. But we got plenty of stuff to talk about today. Oh, man. It's been a pretty wild stretch of a number of events. We had Wrestle Dream. We had WWE Bad Blood. And now we got a few weeks where things are a little bit more calm. I say a little bit more calm. I interviewed Scott D'Amore today. That will go up Friday. It was a really good interview. I've never interviewed him before.
I wonder if he remembers me, because you know I have a history with him going back like 20 years.
I do. Yeah. I did not ask, but I didn't ask, but lots of good stuff came out of that interview. It'll be up early for tier two members of FightfulSelect.com. But gosh, Bryan Danielson, that angle. So I'm interested to hear your take in it before I offer my take, because I've sat on it a couple days. It is going to be a I'll see how it's played out thing, but I'm interested in your take on how that all unfolded. We had a big story on Fightful Select about his retirement and how a lot of it was largely how he wanted to go out.
Yep, exactly. And so I noticed that there's a lot of hate for it. In case you didn't see it, he lost by referee stoppage on a choke to Jon Moxley. It was a standing choke, and then Mox dropped back. There was no tap out or nothing. It was just a referee stoppage. They were in his home state of Seattle. And then they did the post-match angle where Wheeler Yuta put the bag over his head and they all beat him down. Darby Allin came out to try to help, because he's going to be the next challenger, I'm sure. The crowd was pretty quiet because, again, it was in his home state, his last full-time match. I had no issue with it. Like, I saw, again, polarizing online. A lot of people seem to hate it. I didn't mind it for two reasons. The first reason is, if Mox is going to be your top heel, and I assume he's going to be their top heel, why not get heat on Bryan in Bryan's home state when he's going away anyway? Because Bryan's going to have surgery probably, right? So if he's going away anyway, why not get heat on him? And that will probably hopefully get momentum behind Darby Allin going for the title. The second reason is Bryan's a pro, and I'm sure that he believes in the old adage of going out on your back, right?
Yeah.
And he is one of these guys, I'm sure that he has earned creative input with Tony Khan. And I'm sure that Brian wanted it this way. Like it's hard for me to envision that Brian went to Tony saying, I want a celebratory send off. I want flowers and confetti. And Tony goes, no. They're going to attack you post-match. No,
he had to be talked into winning the title.
Right. Yeah. I think he's an old school guy. I think he believes, like I said, going in on your back. And I think that this is what he wanted. And for those two reasons, getting heat on your top heel champion and Brian being the old school guy going in on your back, I had no issue with it. And honestly, I was surprised, I guess, about the hate online because people are going to hate anyway. But I had no issue. What did you think?
Oh, man, I've got a lot of things that I feel right now. I feel the same way about how the match ended as I did on Saturday night, I think it was. I would have had him tap out or pin him. Especially, I would have had him tap out. And the reason is, to me, I think what follows hits a lot better when a guy like Bryan Danielson says, no mas, can't handle it anymore, send me home to my kids and my wife. I'm done. Like if it was out on his terms, not being choked out, I think that him tapping out would have been important because he would have been like, okay. And I think that would add to the John Moxley element of it. You never wanted this. You quit. I would never quit. You would never catch me tapping out. I think that there's a story to that. We don't know if Danielson's ever wrestling again. And that is legitimate because he has to have neck surgery.
Right.
And once you have neck surgery, you don't really know how that's going to play out. Now, I saw a lot of people talking about like, oh, it was a letdown and et cetera afterwards. I've got no problems with the post-match angle because I don't know. I watched WWE and covered it when they booked for heat so much that it insulted the viewer. Like there was never a comeuppance. And then when the comeuppance happened, they booked the person like garbage afterwards. Fortunately, those days are gone. Like I think that Cody's had a good reign. I think that there are other people on this show that once they got their baby face stories, they kept the momentum going. And that's not an issue anymore. But I think that we went from such an extreme of booking for heat that people now are like, what? That's how you're going to do it? And listen, I had superhero fatigue. I watched Deadpool, and that's about it these days. A lot of people expect that superhero ending all the time, every pay-per-view. This is not the end of the story. Storyline's not over here. Just because that show is over doesn't mean that the story is over. That's one episode. Like, you don't watch three or four episodes of a TV show that has 20, 25 episodes and say, I hate the ending of this story. That's not the way that was. You can hate the ending of the episode, but the story definitely isn't done yet.
I agree. Yeah. And again, like I said, getting heat on Mox makes sense to me. I mean, they had Darby right there in the ring. Clearly he's going to be the next challenger. Yeah. So, and then Wheeler Yuta, they told the story there too, right? Where he did it, didn't really want to. So I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it. I do agree about the finish. It kind of felt like it came out of nowhere. The crowd didn't really know how to take it when the bell rang. But the post-match thing, like I said, Brian, I'm sure, wanted it that way. And I think he's earned the right to have creative input. And, you know, I want to talk about Brian a bit too, because what an interesting career. You know, I went back today to look at some of his stuff, like when he started in NXT as an example. Mm-hmm. I did not know. So he was on the very first episode of NXT, February 23rd, 2010, right? And you remember back then they had rookies and they had pros. And Brian, even though he was 10 years in with a massive Ring of Honor run, he was a rookie and his pro was The Miz of all people.
It was brilliant. It was very smart to do that.
But
they did that another year with Low-Key and Laycool as well.
I remember that so too. Good. But I want to ask you this, and don't Google this. The very first episode of NXT, February 23rd, 2010, Brian had a...
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
Match. Do you know who his opponent was on the very first NXT episode?
Was it Cena?
It was Chris Jericho.
I knew it was a big name.
Isn't that interesting given where their careers went?
Yeah.
That his first match in NXT was against Chris Jericho. So I thought that was very interesting. And then he was released. He came back as part of the Nexus with what a group of guys he was with. Bray Wyatt, Ryback, Wade Barrett. And then he took off. Do you remember Team Hell No with Kane? And yeah, they got over just by hugging each other, basically.
Yeah, it was great.
And then came the Yes Movement, and he was off to the races. And I think my greatest memory about Bryan Danielson, I was going to call him Daniel Bryan for a minute. I think my greatest memory about Bryan Danielson is the fact that he forced Vince McMahon's hand. And he forced Vince to inject him into the main event of WrestleMania 30 because Bryan did not fit the prototype of what Vince McMahon thought a wrestler should look like.
Yeah.
And the crowd took over how many segments on Raw? How many times did we see the Raw crowd?
Over and over.
Over and over, yeah. And so he forced Vince's hand and won the title in the main event of WrestleMania 30. That's probably my favorite Bryan Danielson moment, the fact that he organically got over. And hell of a career. He had a hell of a run. And so whatever he does next, I don't think he's at his last match by any means.
Sure.
But whatever he does next, you know, I wish him luck.
Just a wonderful career he's had. And not only that, such a funny guy. I'm so glad that I got to interview him recently, because that was a bucket list one for sure. But somebody who was very selfless. It's so funny because when he came in and did his first scrum 3 years ago with AEW, he said, I'm not here to help anybody. I want to beat everybody. And it was the complete opposite. It was so opposite, because you often hear people say, I want to come in and help the young guys. And you hear about them being political afterwards. And that's not pointed at any one person.
Yeah.
But he was a person who I would hear would lose matches and then come to the back or win matches and would come to the back and say, I should have lost that. I probably should have lost. I mean, there were jokes internally about them having to do a reverse Montreal screw job to get him to win. But
awesome.
That was another thing in our story, like in our Fightful Select story, when they were pitching finishes to Swerve for this, they're like, oh, so do you want to pass out? And he's like, no, it's Bryan Danielson. I'm going to tap out. It's like,
awesome.
What is there? Like, what are we talking about passing out here? So I think that speaks a lot about the reverence and the respect that a lot of people have for Bryan Danielson and what he has done. And hopefully he's not done in wrestling. He has said that he wants to come back and contribute for AEW in some capacity. Mm-hmm. When he was asked about WWE, he said that the only way he sees himself going back there is if the wrestling industry is in a place where it needs him to go back there. And right now he doesn't see that, but anything can happen. But he is in a great position. He has made an awful lot of money and done an incredible amount of work and quality of work. So
yeah. He also doesn't come across like a guy that's got a very luxurious lifestyle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's set up, and yeah, good for him. He seems like a good dude. I've never met him. Seems like a good guy. He's one of those guys you don't really hear anything negative about. I remember some of the WWE videos where he would like poke fun at Ryback and stuff.
Ryback, I interviewed him like about it, Ryback.
But, oh, did you?
The Table for Three with Ryback and Dolph Ziggler was one of my favorite things ever. And I got to interview Danielson and Ziggler back to back in a week and talk to them about that. If you guys have never watched Table for Three, it is phenomenal. It is a 5'7", 5'8" man bullying a 6'3", 300-pound man. It was so funny.
Yeah.
It was just wonderful stuff.
This guy going into like his biggest matchup of his life at WrestleMania, he's going to Whole Foods to get food that day. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like he just seems like a good dude. I still have that wooden belt. Remember the
oh yeah,
I do. The environmentally friendly. Yeah. what is still one of my favorite championship belts was the environmentally friendly one. So yeah, he's punched his ticket. He can do whatever the hell he wants. And I think he's earned it. So good luck to him.
Well, if you guys are wondering where the heck do I even watch Table for Three these days, don't worry. NordVPN.com/Fightful has you covered. You might wonder, where is this going to air? Where is that going to air? NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to make it easier for you. You can change your virtual location with just one click and be anywhere globally and get access to some of those services of which you can just watch everything on one service from WWE and other companies. You also get pay-per-view prices at a much more affordable rate. You can protect your online activity, whether you want to listen to your shows abroad or shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on that public Wi-Fi. And right now there's a Black Friday exclusive deal. Get a big savings plus 4 months extra. And as always, that 30-day money back guarantee. I truly love this service. They got the 24/7 tech support, of which I have had to use before, because I always promised myself I won't be that guy that gets older and doesn't know how to use technology. That's me. That's me right now. And I utilize NordVPN.com/Fightful, their threat protection, their global server network. It's the fastest VPN on the planet. They've got a kill switch feature that stops your data from leaking if you accidentally disconnect from their servers, which keeps you safe at all times. But that 24/7 tech support helps so much. And if you don't like it, get your money back within 30 days. Check it out. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Jimmy,
I refuse to believe that you're not tech savvy. Like, you come off to me quite tech savvy, actually.
I had this other studio set up, right? And I like to use that when we have moderators because it's a lot easier for me to do it then. Uh-huh. But like, I'm still working on getting the camera set up. You know how like you had it in the office with the DSLR and all mm-hmm. that stuff. I'm close to getting it working, but not quite yet. Like I gotta, usually what I have to do is just outsource it and say, hey, Twitter, how do I do this? And then somebody on Twitter tells me.
Okay.
Well, Hooks of Hooked In Voiceovers, who sponsored our Fightful Awards this year, says Mock should open up tonight and explain things. I think it's almost best if they don't explain things yet. We'll get that explanation. Any update on The Rock's plans for Mania 41? I'm going to do a full story on this soon, but I think The Rock said it best. Like, don't believe that bullshit is what he said.
Yes.
And I think whatever he says goes in that sense, Jimmy.
I thought that was interesting. I thought he had a line of communication to the fellow that said that he's not doing Mania.
Me too.
So that was interesting to me. I mean, you just got to think, given everything that they're doing. I mean, Rock just came back again, right? So you would think, given everything that they're doing, like that he would have it planned out to do Mania 40 or 41. So I'd be surprised if he's not there, but I guess only he knows for sure.
Tony says, can you get any more info about the ROH dojo? I know people say ROH, AEW needs a PC, but when Tony bought ROH, didn't he get the ROH dojo in Baltimore, or was it owned by someone else? The Leo match made it cross my mind. I'm almost positive that was a rented building. Almost positive. I don't know why Sinclair would have bought a building like that. And if they did, I doubt that facility would have been included in the asset sales. They probably just would have kept it and done something else. Also, speaking of Sinclair, I want to send well wishes to the family, friends of Joe Koff, who was formerly of Ring of Honor. So I had made a post yesterday. He was the COO of ROH. We started Fightful in 2016. And I had a few contacts that were, you know, left over from my Wrestling Inc. days. Pardon me. But by and large, that first year, when we were talking to somebody, we were interviewing somebody, it was me calling in a favor. We were not in the good graces of WWE, TNA. There was no AEW. There wasn't a really easy line to New Japan or anything like that. And I want to say about 6 months in, I got an email from Joe Koff, who was the COO of ROH. And at that time, probably the second biggest company in America, because TNA had sort of fallen off in that regard. And he said that he really liked what we did. he liked some of our work, and he would like to talk to us. And to me, having an executive of any company like that willing to go on the record with us, this is before we were newsbreakers to that extent, that was a very, very important thing. And he was very generous with his time. I remember he added me to Facebook after that, and we kept in touch. And I would hear just so many wonderful stories about how he treated people. I had people that were telling me that he reached out to them when they signed with WWE and AEW over the last year or two. And he's going to be missed. He always was welcoming with a big smile and was so nice. And if he could provide color or information on a situation, he did. And he was just a pleasant guy, just a really, really good guy, and the type of person that wrestling could use a lot more of. So rest in peace, Joe Koff. Oh, man.
Yeah, I didn't have the experience with him that you did. And I'll be the first to admit, I was never the biggest, most knowledgeable Ring of Honor person. But obviously, I knew the name, and he is someone that you used to mention to me, like you said, back in the day, and someone that you regarded as you know, just being a really positive person. So it's sad to hear what happened to him. You know, condolences to his family.
It is. Narthu says, first super chat, spooky season, can we get Danhausen and the conglomeration? I think that would be a great fit. People ask me about Danhausen. I feel like if you were going to see Danhausen on TV, it'd be this time of the year for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The merchandise, man, you know?
Do you think Tony should hire Scott D'Amore? I would wait and see how the Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling thing pans out. See if he's got his fastball and then maybe assess things from there. He wasn't doing like a ton of the creative at the end from what I understood.
But, now, there's some kind of relationship, right? Because I heard like Takeshita is going to defend the title on that show.
Yeah. So he actually goes into detail with me in that interview about how that got approved and actually how AEW is able to use TNA theme songs as well, which is something I always wondered. We go into a lot of stuff like that. Like I asked him about that. They're having the ROH title defended with Athena on the show as well. So there's obviously some sort of positivity there. And he also goes into detail on why it was that the AEW partnership ended with TNA. Right.
Oh, so, very interesting. Very interesting. Cool.
Bobby says, do you think of any one talent willing to take on elevating the show like Collision in the same way The Miz elevated the IC title years ago? If so, who could you see doing this? Swerve. I think Swerve is the type of person that sees that type of thing, whether it be Collision, Shockwave, or something else, as something that he would want to do. We know CM Punk was that guy. We know FTR are a couple of those guys that like to wave that flag. But they have a very, very, when I say soft, I mean the limpest brand split you have ever seen, where there are people that I'll be like, hey, are you at Dynamite tonight when I'll be there? And they'll be like, no, I'm a Collider. And they like kind of joke about it because they only work the Collision shows. But I think that Swerve is definitely the person that can be that and would want to be that. Like, I think if Shockwave or Collision need to step up, I think he would be a guy to do that with. And don't look now, Jimmy, but Kenny Omega maybe a few months away from coming back. We don't know how far Adam Copeland is, but right now, AEW is the closest to being 100% at the top of their card that they've ever been. Swerve just came back after a short absence. MJF. We have Hangman Page back in the fold full time. Okada is signed. Gosh, who else? Adam Cole is back. And then you've got your guys near the top of the card. Switchblade got a big win
at
the pay-per-view. That's enormous. This is the closest they've been to 100%. And they have never been 100%, Jimmy.
And in terms of somebody overseeing a brand, like they asked about Collision, and Swerve's a good name, I would put Mariah May up there. Like, yeah. I look at Mariah May, and I understand Mercedes, you know, somebody that they brought in to kind of lead the women's division, and they got Britt, and they got Toni Storm. Mariah May, to me, is a package. And yeah. I think she's got lots of potential to be, like, one of those, almost like the Rhea Ripley of AEW in that regard.
And if you don't get a TV deal, you got to get Athena on TV soon. If you don't get an ROH TV deal, she needs to be on one of those helping anchor that show, because she immediately comes in with a great rep. Random, but can you tell us what finish Vince changed at Mania 39? I remember you talking about it, but don't ever remember if you said which one. Okay. I can't tell you in this moment, Supermo. So if you want to send another super chat, you can. I asked about this because somebody else asked me the same thing when Discord started. And the person, when the Discord started, says, ask me in 6 months and I'll see if you can run it. I know what it is, but I will put the pressure on that person and try to have that up this weekend on Fightful Select. So Supermo, if you want to ask something else, I will honor that, but I'm going to work on getting that nailed down. I have a whole document, Jimmy, of first off scoops to run, because I like to run at least one a day, and then ones that just aren't timely whatsoever. So if like I die, Jeremy Lambert will get access to a lot of really outdated scoops that are just hilarious to look back on now. But it was so funny because like there have been some that ended up being true that I would check on as well. Like there's a lot of funny stuff in.
Why do you still have stuff? Do you still have stuff in there? Like Brian Danielson might sign with AEW.
No, but I do have some stuff from that year. I have some stuff. I got some stuff from 2020, 2021 that I just couldn't run. David says, no question. Just thanks for the great coverage this week. Well, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate that. Sean and Jimmy, WBD announced that Max is officially launching in Southeast Asia on 19th November. Any chance AEW would be available on the platform? I don't have a lot of insight on the international deals at this point. I wish that I did, but anything that I get on that, I will let you know. I will ask, though.
Do they currently, I don't know if it's something you know or if that gentleman knows, do they have a deal in that territory currently? I
do not know.
Because if they don't, it'd be easy.
I am not that hip to the international deals. Right, I'm not. Yeah. I need to read up on that for sure.
You saw Fox Mexico, though, right?
Oh, I certainly saw that one. Certainly saw that one. Super Pony says, any update on KO being close to resigning? They are in talks. We had reported that a few weeks ago.
I loved the fan cam footage, if that's what it was, when he attacked Cody. Was that legit cam fan footage?
You mean can fam? So he said
fan cam.
He said can fam. Canadian family footage. I mean, that's it might cute. Have been. I don't know if the guy was Canadian.
No, but was that a legitimate fan video or was that
actually a fan sent us footage of it as well? And we post a lot of shorts, guys, but our video that I want to make sure that I credit him. Bink, bink, bink. Joe Colley has over 100,000 views on our YouTube. So make sure you guys are checking out our shorts. We got a guy that works on those. We're trying to get into the short content game. Listen, I was telling our staff, I was like, we had a lot of great ideas for 2016 that were way ahead of the curve. Now we need to catch up and get ahead of 2024 as well from a content perspective. Unfortunately, Elon nerfs our reach because we post links on Twitter and he doesn't want you leaving the website, obviously. So that harms our reach in some things, but man, our YouTube is doing good with all the shorts and stuff. Do you know plans for War Games? Heard rumors there might only be one with Bloodline, which is fine by me. Rather the women defend their titles rather than force a War Games match. If they did a War Games match at this point, I almost think it would be SmackDown versus Raw, but you couldn't do one with Liv and Rhea teaming up.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would work right now. I just don't know how that would cohesively work.
You mean the Bloodline?
No. Women. The women right now. The way that it's constructed. Bloodline, for sure. I would imagine that the Bloodline is the plan. They seem to be setting that up right now.
Yeah, I think the only question is they got so many options for Roman.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, Jimmy and Jay are talking again on television. So that's an obvious one. Sammy doesn't really have a lot to do at the moment after the program with Gunther. And then Cody, because Roman did a solid for Cody teaming with him. Maybe Roman now wants Cody to do him a solid and join his team. But Solo doesn't have that many guys unless he brings in more. So Roman has a lot of options. What do you think will be the Roman team? Do you think it'll be maybe Jimmy, Jay, and Cody or Jimmy, Jay, and Sammy?
As things stand, we got 4-on-4. I would – now, if it's 4-on-4, I think Roman, Jimmy, Jay, Sammy. I think that would be good to integrate in. He lost to Gunther, so I think that would be a nice one to add. And then those four. Now, if they add Hikuleo to the fifth and make it the 5-on-5, I could probably see them doing, like, you know, Cody or something like that. But I'd move Cody out of that now. I think it's time for him to do other stuff. He can be involved with the Bloodline again whenever. Or listen, here's what I would really love. If they added Hikuleo as the fifth man, if they were doing that, and then The Rock was the fifth man, and then just turned on the Bloodline. Because as of now, we've not had a turn or anything like that from The Rock. We've not seen that. He's just popped up there, and we speculate.
Right. Interesting. They have a lot of options. I guess we'll see what happens. Similar thing I just want to ask you about quickly, because this Bloodline related. Logan Paul on his podcast with Jelly Roll put over Jacob Fatu. I can't envision this match, but he said that there are plans for him to wrestle Jacob Fatu. Can you envision Logan Paul and Jacob Fatu?
I mean, maybe he's planning on it. Maybe he's I haven't heard of that being the plan. I mean, I would too if I were him.
Yeah.
He's very clearly the guy. I've been working on a story about that is kind of a no-duh story, but still been working on that. But yeah, man, we got a ton of super chats and humper chats. Let's get to these. Tim McFall says, Sean and Jimmy, thank you for this amazing and inclusive platform. Any insight on a Canadian deal for AEW? Again, I don't have a lot of insight on this. Jimmy, how could you see this unfolding? He says, with Rogers losing WWE in January and their WBD deal, are they the front runners?
I think that WWE going to Netflix is great news for AEW in Canada. Because otherwise, TSN would have been really their only option. You really have TSN and you have Rogers. Those are the two conglomerates in this country for sports television. Now, Rogers is an option. I don't know when their current contract expires with TSN. They started with TSN in 19 when they launched. So I don't know if it was a five-year deal. I haven't looked it up. Brandon Thurston might know. If it's a five-year deal that aligns with where they're at now with Warner Brothers, yeah, maybe they go to Rogers. But either option is would be a strong fit for them.
Tony says, can you find out how Europe possibly feels or view how the Final Countdown is a deep connection to the fans, Brian and AEW, since for some it is more than just a theme? Can you learn if Brian has an employee contract, even if the wrestling one is done? He has no contracts right now. He confirmed that to me personally a couple months ago. He does not have an additional contract. He wasn't even being paid extra for the disciplinary committee thing. I do not have a connection to the band Europe. Honestly, I'm pretty sure I could get one if I needed one.
I'd be impressed if you did.
I think I could get one. I really do think I could get one. But I'm usually about three or four calls away from about anybody in entertainment, except for like Taylor Swift or somebody.
I was just going to say, let's talk to Taylor Swift about Jeff Jarrett. Let's talk to her about Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, except somebody like that. Usually I can get a hold of somebody who knows somebody, but I mean, obviously they're okay with it because they could just deny it if they wanted to. The bands deny stuff like that all the time. Jefferson Starship did not make it easy for AEW to get the theme for Orange Cassidy for a while, which in retrospect, I kind of like because I prefer the Pixies version, but neither here nor there. Nulak City, he made a bet with me last week and he paid up. So big thank you. He sent a $50 super chat or humper chat rather, because he's the goat. He always sends via humper chats. He said, SRS, man of my word, Bengals beat my Giants. So here's a donation. If you want to send it to any charity, if you want to share any good ones on here that we can follow and support. Yes. NAMI is the primary one. National Alliance on Mental Illness did the NAMI walk again this past Saturday. I've been doing that for over 12 years here in Lexington, Kentucky. That's one that I would highly encourage you guys to do. Also, Wigs for Kids, which is where I donated my hair years ago. That's one that I'm partial to. The Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, Elijah Burke has a great charity, the Love Alive charity in Jacksonville, where he feeds the needy and the homeless in the area. And I'll be real, guys. At the end of the day, when he's doing that, it's usually him running his credit card, debit card at the end of the day to help pay for more. So that's also a good one. Within the Jaguars' new stadium, do you see All In happening there? Yeah, I do see All In happening there eventually, Jimmy, or a major stadium show from there at least. I did not realize how densely populated Jacksonville was until I was looking at like most populated cities in the US, and it's up there. Like I didn't think that they were as heavy as they were. I think 10th, they'll probably be at 1 million residents by the time something like that happens. Yeah. They'll be one of 10 cities like that.
I don't think I've ever been. Orlando's a shithole. I can tell you that. It's owned by Disney basically, but never been to Jacksonville. You know something, Sean? I shouldn't go on about this because I'll probably piss somebody off. For the first time in my life, I saw a drive-by panhandler in Orlando, Florida. Have I told you this before?
No.
I saw a drive-by panhandler who came up to us at a gas station in their vehicle asking for money. And I just had never witnessed that before. And my father-in-law made like, we see this every day. So there you go. Orlando, Florida.
Corey says, any potential Shane McMahon news in AEW? Any possibility Mox saying something bigger involves Shane in any way? The word internally is that it's not Shane. Listen, he pops up. I swear that guy lives at the airport. He's like Tom Hanks in the terminal. We've seen him there with Mercedes, with Tony Khan, with the Young Bucks. I think eventually he'll do something with them, but I don't know that anything is imminent. Maybe it is, but I don't know that anything else is imminent.
I feel like he's not gonna. I never really thought he was, just because his dad still has a shit ton of stock in WWE. His sister still got a shit ton of stock in WWE. His brother-in-law obviously is in a prominent position. I would just be surprised if he did. I know that there was this grandiose fantasy that Shane McMahon's gonna show up in AEW. I've never thought it would happen. I know in wrestling they say never, but. Yeah, I just never thought it would.
Well, if you're a betting man and you want to put some money on that.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful, here to tell you about BetOnline AG. The highest credit card acceptance industry-wide, 25-plus year track record, safe and secure online environments, payouts in minutes, the fastest in the industry. You can bet big with their high limits and rebet functionality, the earliest line so odds open before the competition, the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit, and we're talking on everything. Wrestling, they got it. MMA, they got it. Boxing, they got it. But hey, you know what? I know we're Fightful. We don't just live for that. Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, racing, esports, anything you can think of. Not only that, this is exclusively where Fightful gets our lines from. If you hear us talking about lines on a prediction show or on our post shows, it is always from BetOnline AG. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline.ag.
We had a couple of underdog winners hit this past weekend. I haven't been able to give an underdog lock in like 5 months because they've been really on the money with their lines at BetOnline. But we had Dikesha and then Brian Danielson retiring. And then how about this one? We had MJF as the first to appear on the show because Bobby Lashley was favored and wasn't on the show at all. So we had three underdog picks hit this past week. We were 100% on our picks.
Wow.
For Bet Online in the Fightful Select Discord this week. Shout out to Bet Online.
When you said to me, if you want to make a bet on that about Shane McMahon and AEW, I didn't know that was a segue. I thought that was you saying to me, you want to make a bet on that?
So that was good. We have still a plenty of super chats, humper chats. You all are showing out today. Thomas says there's been a lot of discussion lately on AEW's issues promoting their show, specifically with segments not being announced until 1-2 days before the show on social media. Why does AEW have these issues? Plenty of companies do that. I mean, WWE has gotten better about announcing things a week ahead, but we're talking about them coming off of a pay-per-view. So I think it is important to have some stuff that is announced from behind the pay-per-view to the other side. I think WWE is very good about that. That way they can promote some of that on the pay-per-view. But I don't think that they are the only ones. WWE does this. Like, you'll have stuff announced over the weekend for Raw and in the days prior for SmackDown. It's just WWE has gotten so much better about it to where if you watch Raw, you know three things that are going to happen for next week at least. And I think that is very, very important.
I think a big issue that AEW has had for the last few years that they haven't been able to get a handle on yet is you don't necessarily know who's going to be at Dynamite. And with Raw, because it's the same roster every week, you know, right? For Raw, you know, you're going to see Gunther, you're going to see Damian Priest, you're going to see Rhea Ripley, you're going to see Liv Morgan. You know this. With Dynamite, and I've seen a lot of complaints on social media where people say, well, I didn't buy tickets because, like, I'm a fan of Darby Allin, but I don't know if he's going to be there. And this has been a problem that they have to try to figure out. That and local promotions. Local promotions seems to lack when it comes to them, but...
I think the AEW spends an awful lot of time setting up things for Collision and Rampage in the days that follow, and not nearly as much for the next week on Dynamite. Like, show me a reason why I should be tuning into the same show that I'm already tuning into.
Right.
So when you set up things, like, for example, like a lot of people, you have to set up some stuff for Collision and Rampage because you want people to watch that. But you also got to give them a reason to tune in consistently to the show they are watching and not count on social media to tell everybody, well, this is what's going on.
Yes.
I feel that is very, very important to do. And I agree with Thomas. They got to do better at that for sure.
I agree. They do rely on social media a lot, but it's so simple just to say names. Like for the local market that you want people to buy a ticket. Just say the names of who's going to be there, you know, further out than the week before. They need to do that.
Husha says, do you hear same at all about KO being close to signing? We had reported a while back that they are in talks. That they have been approached, or that Kevin Owens is approached, but we haven't heard that he's close to signing or anything yet. I'll follow up. Midtake says, it's going to be very interesting if they avoid the devil story with Cole and Max. Also, I thought the colors of the new NXT made the PC look so much better. I agree. I love the silver and black.
Yes, I do too.
The Colin Max thing is something I was very passionate about this past week because a lot of people were like, before the story plays out whatsoever, we're like, well, one of them was the babyface and one of them was the heel last year. Okay. What has MJF done since then? He has reaffirmed anybody's decision to not trust him. I am willing to give them a week or two to explain what's going on. Like, you all want Adam Cole to come out, pull the Scooby-Doo mask off, and then tell the entire story immediately? Listen, you can say what you want about the execution of that story last year. It got a lot of interest when it happened. And this story was based on Adam Cole being a good guy and MJF repeatedly being tempted to be a complete piece of shit, Jimmy. He literally stood behind Adam Cole on national TV like this. I'll fucking do it. I'm gonna fucking do it. And then he would stop and they would turn around and hug. And like, we're supposed to believe that Adam Cole never saw that. We're supposed to believe that he was ignorant to that. The way that I had always looked at it was MJF was the devil. And then he got out-deviled by somebody.
Mm.
Got had. Somebody beat him to the punch. Now, you can't necessarily explain Adam Cole's behavior that followed that as a quote-unquote heel, but I feel like they're going to explain this. I'm not going to write this story off as like, oh, this sucks, without seeing how they address it. Maybe they address it and it sucks, though.
Well, I will say this. So I read again about a lot of the sentiment about that. I do understand if viewers are confused that Adam Cole was coming out as the babyface after he was the one that attacked MJF, cost MJF the world title. I understand that. But there's one thing that people got to remember. Anytime a wrestler comes back from injury, anytime they make a return, they get the babyface reaction because the crowd is happy to see him. It didn't matter if it was Triple H in WWE when he was a heel, or now if it's Adam Cole. When they're out and they come back, they get the babyface. That's just how it is.
Here's an example. What did Roman Reigns do himself to be a babyface? The last time we saw him before SummerSlam, he was a bad guy.
Right.
And then, because in absence, Solo Sikoa did some stuff, he's a good guy. But what did Roman do? Well, he's getting that reaction. It's a natural fit. It makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I do agree with you that they need to explain it because the last time Cole was there, Cole was the asshole to MJF. That, like I said, cost MJF the title. So they have to explain what.
Jimmy, please explain stock options like I were 5 years old, still learning to effectively play the market. And then T.O. says, Jimmy never understood straddles quick tutorial.
How much time you got? Okay.
Not that long, Jimmy.
Well, my wife's here today, so she can get my kid. But I'll try to do it high level. So the difference between trading options and trading stock is that when you trade options, you're not trading the actual stock. You're trading a contract. And Sean, you should listen because you can make money doing this if you learn. You're trading a contract. And what that contract says is, I'm going to buy this particular stock at this particular price on this particular day. And that's why I told you when we started, I have expiries today that I have to watch. It's because I purchased options contracts that expire today. Instead of watching the stock price go up and down, you're watching the fee that you have to pay for that contract go up and down. That's what you're watching. Mm. And so let's say you want to buy Tesla. And I don't know what the hell Tesla's at today. It was over $200, I think. But let's say you wanted to buy Tesla and you wanted to buy it next Friday at $215. There's a fee attached to that. And that's what you're looking. That's what you're watching. The bad news about options is they're very volatile. You can literally be down 40% like this. Like, you'd be down 40% quick. The good news is it can be very lucrative if you catch it right. You can literally, like while we were talking, while you and I were talking, I sold the option 70% up. So you can go up very quickly. You can go down very quickly, but that's how options work. And if you don't sell them by that expiry date, then whoever your trading platform is, they will just settle it at the end of the business day. And whatever the price is, that's how it works. Oh, in terms of the straddle. So I call it a strangle. What that means is, do you understand what puts are, Sean? You ever heard of puts?
Nope.
Okay. So
I've called you a puts a few times.
You're not the only one. So with options, you can either do calls or you can do puts. Calls means that you bet the stock's going to go up. Puts means that you bet the stock's going to go down. It's also called shorting, which I'm sure you've heard of, right? Mm-hmm. So with a strangle, as I call it, you buy the same stock, typically with the same expiry, but you buy the call and the put. That way, if it goes up, you're going to lose on the puts, but you're hoping that the call makes up for it. So your net is positive. Same way the other way around. If the stock goes down, you lose on the call, but you hope to make more on the put, and then you have a net. So what I did today as we were talking is I bought the SPY, which is the S&P 500.
Yeah.
I bought the calls and the puts, and I ended up, it went up. So I ended up down on the puts, but I made more on the calls. And so my net was like 70%.
Fantastic. We need to clip that. We need to clip that. And
yeah, please.
And definitely run that. Lord Peter says, call me soft after Saturday's main event. I would prefer that Danielson just vacated the title after all in and gone out on top. And then, that was it. This was it. Shelley says, do you see Darby as the one to take the title from Moxley? And like Owens fighting the bloodline for over 3 years, do you see Drew and Punk feuding on and off for another calendar year? I say no on Drew and Punk, maybe through WrestleMania, maybe. But as far as Darby, I don't think it was an accident that shot that was shown at the end of the pay-per-view of a bunch of the homegrown guys. I absolutely do not want Bryan Danielson retiring on top with that title. To me, almost no circumstances is that the way to go. And if you think he's ever going to wrestle again, you don't do that, in my opinion, Jimmy.
He never would have done it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It almost reminds me of Vince McMahon believing that Bret Hart was going to take the WWF title to WCW. Bret Hart never would have taken the belt to WCW because he had too much respect for the business. Brian, like I said, I think his mentality is you go out on your back. And so I think he would have refused to retire as champion. It just wouldn't have happened.
We have Terry Allen Jr. says, at the scrum, wish Mariah May got greater questions. My question is, if I was there, the Mayday finisher, did some of friends assist on the name? I saw a lot of discourse regarding that. And allow me to play devil's advocate as somebody who is in the media. My least favorite thing is to do in-person press conferences. You cannot win. As a person who asks the questions, you cannot win. Either people will say that you're not asking stuff serious enough, you are asking things too serious, It's not the time, not the place. You're going too soft on them. You're in their pockets. Press passes must be nice. Like, there's no way to win there. Would I have had a question from Ryan May, especially if nobody else asked one? Yes, for sure. However, WWE, AEW, and the like have done a really bad job at preparing wrestling media for, are these going to be in character or are they not? What the hell do we expect when we go there? Now, I'm not, you know, absolving blame from anybody else. It's just like, let us know what the hell we're doing. Mm-hmm. And like, who is it that we are talking to at that situation? Before we get there, we don't know who's there.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know if we're talking to Mariah May, the performer, or Mariah May, the person.
That's part of the problem.
In that situation. And I do think that there should have been more questions for her. For sure.
I noticed at AEW, a lot of them are in character. WWE, they're usually not.
Yeah.
I noticed. I don't know why that is. I don't know if they're given that direction or they just feel like doing it that way. What did you think of Shivani being up there instead of Tony Khan?
It was all right. It was much shorter. I mean, listen, I like Tony personally, but Tony Khan.
Yeah.
Tony Schiavone hates us, hates all dirt. She does, loathes us.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, okay. Unfortunate. I interviewed him a few years ago. It went great. I love his work, but whatever. But Tony Khan gets into promoter mode and you tune it out. If I were AEW's PR, I would go to Tony Khan and say, listen, I know that you're trying to promote things, but we don't need an 8-9 minute history of Eddie Kingston and what all the Triple Crown championships are and all that stuff. If you give a short answer, well, guess what? A short, good answer. There's going to be an article written about that. The article will plug the upcoming pay-per-view and you'll get the promotion that way. We do not need the history. Do a video or something like that. So I was glad that it was streamlined. I would still have Tony there though. I just think that they need to button some things up. They definitely,
I prefer Tony's not there. We've talked about this before. I feel like Tony shouldn't be there. Tony Khan. I feel like the talent sometimes, especially the younger talent, they're a little bit on edge when the boss is there. I'd rather he's not there. I preferred having Shivani there. The Mariah May thing with the media, I don't know why questions weren't asked, but maybe like you said, they didn't know she was going to be there and weren't prepared for her. But
yeah.
But otherwise, I liked having Shivani there. I think they should stick with that. And Tony, you know, he can do a press conference when he wants to talk. Tony Khan, his own press conference.
Well, I definitely wasn't there this past week. But Jimmy, I'll tell you where I'll be on October 25th. I'll be at Toy Vomit, a.k.a. Toy HQ. They are opening a new location on October 25th, 127 West Tiverton in Lexington. I discovered them through a Cardona and Myers video on their Major Wrestling Figure Pod show. And I was like, this is one of the coolest stores I've ever seen. Whenever I travel, I'll have to go there. And then at the end, they said Lexington, Kentucky. And I've been going ever since. I got a whole bunch of stuff in here that I'll show off on one of our future reads that I've gotten from there. But I mean, just wonderful people and one of the most insane wrestling collections. In fact, when I talked to their owner, what do you want me to say in this read? He said, I have no clue on how to advertise other than harping on buying bullshit every day for cash and having a 6,000 square foot store full of cool wrestling stuff. If you come to Lexington, you have got to check out Toy Vomit, Toy HQ. I mean this very sincerely. Going there all the time contributed to me getting out of depression. I started to collect things. Oh, yeah. Really? I started to collect stuff. It really gave me like something. It reconnected me with my youth during the pandemic and was so important. So check them out. Toy HQ, Toy Vomit. I'll be telling you all more about them in the coming week or so. And next Friday, they are opening their new location, which I'm very excited about. Crispy Chris says things get spicy if Sammy teams with Roman after KO's reaction to Cody teaming with them. Yes, it is. Here's what I like about this, Jimmy. It is a nice conflict of morals that justifies KO's reaction. And Sammy, it makes him seem like, well, he's just trying to help people that he once cared about. He's trying to do the right thing, but also he's kind of forgetting somebody that he cared about and has lost their way ever since.
even though it might not make sense from a storyline perspective, it would be interesting if KO joined the Bloodline at War Games and Cody and Sammy were part of the Roman family team. That would be interesting. The KO stuff is interesting. I liked that they did the Cody attack outside, you know, assuming that someone was gonna catch it. I saw KO's, do you want to call it a promo, where he was in front of his computer? They just posted it. This is interesting stuff that they're doing. It's stuff that they hadn't done before. They sure as hell wouldn't be doing if Vince McMahon was still there. So it's unique, man. And one thing I've always loved about Kevin Owens, there's many things I like about Kevin Owens, but one of the things I love about Kevin Owens is he's the one guy that will remind you about stuff from the past in storyline. You know what I mean? He's the one guy that will remember that, oh, like last September, you did this to me. Because nobody else ever does that. So I love that about Cody, or about Kevin. So, yeah.
Crazy 101 said, did Samoa Joe re-sign with AEW? He's still got quite a bit of time on his deal. Two Marks Pod says, thoughts of timing of weekly wrestling going to streaming? In my opinion, should have happened 5 years ago. At least no one in their 20s, 30s pays for cable that I know of. I do, but that's only because wrestling is on it. Otherwise, I would not. That's the only thing I have left to watch on cable. Everything else is on streaming services. All the true crime and stuff that I watch. Jimmy, did you see that story that I dropped in our chat that happened last week locally with that person that I knew?
You told me about it. Yeah, you told me about it.
Insane. And then we found out this week that, so for those that didn't see, a person that I knew came to my gym a few times back in the day, an acquaintance, arrested for murder as a person that showed up to do some work on her mother's house, showed up and found a dismembered body in the backyard.
Crazy.
And then there was an 11-hour standoff. And then they got in and found charred remains in a pot in the oven. And then that's just unfortunate and tragic in general. But
did you know her mom, Sean?
I did not know her mom. Okay. I did not. I didn't know any of the family, anything like that. Just had some mutuals, would run into people like this, run into them at parties or at the gym, something like that. Very small community. So the multi-county stuff is, you know a little bit of everybody.
Even
just as like another tragic turn of this, there was a court date on Monday and her aunt was there and said, oh yeah, she got into a motorcycle accident months ago and had no idea who she was. Couldn't remember her name. Couldn't remember anything about herself. Man, it's tragic all around.
Crazy, especially knowing that person.
Yeah. And like, it wasn't a person I was close with. It's just when somebody you have met does something like that. And Jimmy, I watch a ton of true crime. If I weren't in this line of work, I probably would have been in like some sort of information gathering or detective work or something like that. People are like, oh, it's something you read about or watch on Dateline. I'm like, I've watched thousands of hours of Dateline and stuff like that. And I have never heard something like this story with a woman before. And man, just tragic all around.
I guarantee you Netflix is going to end up doing an episode about that.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's what my wife and I were talking about. We're like, we're going to be watching an episode on this. And yeah, I hadn't talked to her personally in probably 5 years. She moved to Los Angeles. She was acting and modeling and had completely changed up her looks and all that stuff. And at one point, I think an Instagram or a Snapchat that I followed or was friends with changed to a different name. She had a stage name at that point. I'd noticed she had also changed her birth date. Obviously, if you're an actress in Hollywood, you know, there's a lot of shit you got to overcome. And, you know, making yourself younger is probably one of those. But just wild.
Have you seen a docuseries on Netflix called Worst Ex Ever?
Yes, I have.
Bonkers the story. Did you see? Okay, I'm not going to go on for 20 minutes. I don't want to bore people. There's a story about a woman whose ex-boyfriend set her up with friends of his, claiming that she had committed armed robbery. And she ended up in prison for 7 or 8 months or something like that. And this woman did not fit the profile. of somebody that would be committing armed robberies. You know the episode I'm talking about?
I do.
That was bonkers to me that the judicial system is that screwed up.
Yeah.
That they basically bought it and had this woman, this completely innocent woman,
yeah,
behind bars for almost a year. Crazy.
We do still have a couple of super chats, but I do want to get to the Brock Lesnar stuff because a lot of people were asking about that today. We have a full report on FightfulSelect.com. You can go there to get a ton of details. I actually had a story like this somewhat prepared, but there were rumors today that emerged claiming that Brock Lesnar was in talks with WWE. I'm sure there is some sort of dialogue or follow-up. They are literally referenced in a lawsuit with one another, so I'm sure there is some sort of dialogue there. But I'll give you guys the long and short of the timeline here. The days after that lawsuit, which did not name Brock Lesnar, he was referenced. He was named in the Netflix documentary by the writer, but it's him. He was scheduled to come to the Royal Rumble, start a program with Gunther. And the way that I got tipped off that he wasn't going to be there was somebody I knew that worked at a steakhouse where they have like a 5-figure reservation. Because when you make a reservation the size of what Brock Lesnar and his peeps are going to be putting down, so you got to give them some notice there. That got canceled as a result of that. And I won't go beyond that, but around WrestleMania time, there was another outlet that was preparing to report that Brock Lesnar was coming back imminently and WWE had plans for it. And I referenced this on Monday, Jimmy. I reached out to a higher up in WWE and they were like, no text messages involving this. You can meet me this place. And I said, it was like in the movies where it's, you meet somebody in this dark area and you just see their lit cigarette. They got their
with one street light. One street light.
Not even a street light. It was in a parking lot in Philadelphia, and they laid it out to me. They're like, it cost us a lot of money to get him out of that video game in that short of notice and to remove him from promotional materials and do all this. They were not allowed to mention his name on commentary. Wrestlers were not to bring up his name. He wasn't to be included in video packages, anything. There have been no creative plans for Brock Lesnar as of now. So I reached out to people close to Cody about the line. They script by and large these things. So maybe this is them entering at least his nickname into the lexicon, but they had heard nothing different about his status. Now, there is always a chance this could be what they call a temperature check. And they say, well, let's see how this goes. Let's see how this works. But at least the claim, and I got to say this because there are so many people that will be like, you said he wasn't coming back. I'm not WWE. I don't work on the creative team. This is their claim. I'm providing you an update on what they say is the current status regarding Brock Lesnar, and they claim he's not.
And in case anybody's wondering what contributed to this rumor, so not only Cody, but Seth Rollins as well.
Yeah.
On Raw, they both said the same thing. They both said they slayed the beast.
Yeah.
And so that's what, and I'll be honest, when I was watching it and when Rollins said it, I thought nothing of it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I thought nothing of it at all when Rollins said it. When Cody said it, I thought
twice in one day. Scripted right. Promos too. Yes.
Right. That's when I thought, that's kind of interesting. I don't know, man. I'm a long time.
That's what
fan
I look at as the temperature check. Them right. Just mentioning that like that, that which kind of reminded me like when, during the Netflix Vince McMahon documentary, and John Cena was like, yeah, a bunch of us were able to use our names. John right. Cena, Randy Orton. Then he goes, Chris Benoit. And I was like, you didn't need to throw that one there. Like, he was already using his name before then.
Right.
It seemed like a weird way to wedge that in. But the Brock Lesnar stuff, again, the claim internally is that they are not planning on bringing him back. And at least one source in creative was like, I think that would be really dumb while this is still going on. Now, again, this is pro wrestling. Anything can happen. Crazier things have happened. But
I mean, I will say this. I've talked before, I'm a big Brock Lesnar fan as a pro wrestler. And I, as a selfish fan, would love to see Brock and Gunther. I'd love to see that match. But there's no way you can do it when there's a
sure.
pending litigation against the company. Like, forget this man, against the company.
if I've never seen Brock Lesnar again, completely separate of the lawsuit stuff, I will have gotten my fill of Brock Lesnar and I'd be fine.
Yeah, I'd love to see Brock and Gunther. I think that's the last one I'd like to see. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see Gunther pin him. And then that's it.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Razor says, watching the O'Shea Punk interviews, Matt Coon said on X that Punk wants to start a pod someday. Punk seems to thumbs up wrestling history. WWE doc on CM Punk soon. I'm sure A&E will do one. I'm sure. I mean, listen, I both would love and would dread a CM Punk podcast because, one, I think that the Colt Cabana podcast with CM Punk was one of the best and the single most important wrestling podcast to ever exist because we felt the ramifications for 10 full years of that. And we have a great timeline video of this here on Fightful, but also I fear that, you know, he would be the Bischoff to my Meltzer. I'd have to deal with that, but hopefully not. We've had some pleasant exchanges in the past, but
he seems like he's found peace to me, Sean.
I hear nothing but good stuff about how he's been in.
Yeah, WWE. It seems like I saw that he showed up at AJ's signing that she had.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Like he just seems like he's just enjoying life right now. It looks like he's found peace. So
I think he's where he needs to be for sure.
Right.
Bad Robot says, I'm picturing the Simpsons episode with Mr. Smithers in the parking garage in the dark with the cigarette. This is exactly what I thought of when I walked up to the situation, Bad Robot. Yeah, it was exactly like that. That's what was in my mind because this person was legitimately smoking, so I kept a distance from them. Keep Brock away. He's not needed, and there are others more deserving of TV time. Love you guys. Yeah, that's why I feel like if we've seen the last of Brock Lesnar, I'm good. I'm all right. Jimmy, you got anything else as we wrap up?
I guess that's it. We went over time, so I guess we're done. So,
Yeah,
I don't even have a send-off, Sean.
Just FightfulSelect.com. FightfulSelect.com is my send-off. I will be on the AEW post-show tonight talking all kinds of stuff. We'll have, you know, plenty of backstage news and all that. And I got that interview with Scott D'Amore dropping this week that I am very excited for you guys to see.
Very cool. And anybody has any other trade options questions, super chats next week, I'll tackle them. So there,
Jimmy, just invest my money for me. I'm trying to pay off this house.
You're doing fine, Sean Rossap. You're doing fine.
Until next time, guys, we're out.